This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. It's Chris here and with me in the studio is...
Gordon.
Good afternoon, Gordon.
And Phil.
And Phil, what time of the day or night is it for you?
I have no idea. I've been awake since three.
Have you?
So I have a feeling it's almost tomorrow.
Oh. Well, that'll be...
Or if you're paying attention to yesterday... The Super Bowl should be halfway through by now.
No, I was trying to ignore that. Thank you very much, Bill. Thanks very much to Tim for his sporty news and the other news of the day and the weather. Yeah. Thanks very much indeed, Tim. Thanks to Scotty for the morning show.
Lance has been at the desk.
He has been at the desk. Julia has arrived. The team is present, although we are missing Tristan.
Oh, Tristan, yes. We miss Tristan.
On today's show, we're going to be talking about lots of things.
Oh, we've got lots to talk about.
We talk about items in history that maybe still affect us, that are interesting, that might have a gay component to them, or they're socially important.
So deep this week, we're going to talk about this and that.
Both. Boy, that's going to be a big, deep conversation with this and that.
See both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a little later this week, there is a very important anniversary.
Yeah, it's Saturday, actually.
Yes, next Saturday, it is the anniversary of the Wednesday, the February the 13th, 2008, when the Australian government formally apologised to the stolen generation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders people. And that was actually quite a...
It was a very sad day for the people involved.
It was unexpected. It was totally fascinating the way it rolled out. Mm-hmm. Who was it?
Kevin Rudd.
I was going to say, who was the Prime Minister at the time who couldn't get anything else right, but he got that right.
Yes. It was probably the best thing that he will be remembered for is to say sorry to the stolen generation, because even as a child, I hated as a young person growing up and reading about people that were stolen from their families. I thought, how would I like to be stolen from my family? It would have been absolutely bloody terrible. And I've always thought that I would never live to see an apology come through to the Aboriginal population. And when it did, I was so happy. I was just so pleased about it. Yeah,
there was two apologies and four sorries in it.
Yep.
And
it was something that had to be done. I mean, to say these people, most of them are like they're as old as me now, you know, and they'd been living with this all their lives, you know, that they'd been taken from their parents.
I think it was good, though, the way he actually framed it. Well, it was framed for him, but we apologise for the laws and policies of successive parliaments and governments that have inflicted profound grief, suffering and loss on these our fellow Australians.
Yeah, well, this is right. It was terrible. Yeah.
But it was the church, as explained to me as a child, going and rescuing these kids from poverty.
Yes, that's right.
It was all twisted to...
It was twisted to make it sound good, you know.
Well, that, of course, leads us to the assumption that white man's knowledge is the correct knowledge and the only knowledge.
But who's been living on this continent for 40,000 years without ruining it?
Yeah.
Hello.
And I'm not all that familiar with Aboriginal culture, but do they have any basic sort of tenets apart from the direct connection to the land? Do they explain the rest of the universe?
When you read the stories, some of the Aboriginal stories, they're almost biblical. In the fact that they believe, like, the serpent god and the serpent, the great serpent and all the rest of it. I can never remember all the stories, but there's parallels between what they thought and what the ancient other civilizations came to believe in later on, because they were 40,000 years old, but they had these similar beliefs that something was bigger than them, you know? Yeah.
But there would have been elemental beliefs, believing in what they can see and feel.
Yeah, this is right. Yeah, but they believe that that we came from all sorts of different places. They came from all different sorts of things.
And, of course, they believed in the earth.
Yeah.
And
they believed in the earth as their church, basically their church, isn't it?
Yeah. The air around them, and they had fire.
Yep, and wind.
And wind.
And water.
And they had the mystery of the ether or of the spirit world and everything like that.
Yep.
That brings us on to the next little bit, which is the sad announcement that Morris White, the founder of Earth, Wind and Fire Music Group.
See what we did there?
Yeah.
That was so smooth.
That was so smooth. What a segue. has died at the age of 74. But he was part of the boogie era. And what else? How else would you describe him, Phil?
Just a really cool dude who could really play music. The whole band is incredible.
They had an incredible sound, Earth, Wind and Fire.
But the soul and funk and rock and R&B, they just did it all seamlessly.
They had everything, didn't they? And they were one of the groups that took the black music out into the white world in a huge way.
Yeah,
like,
but
the black
generation.
Music had always been there, but yeah. Earth, Wind and Fire just took it out there and gave it to everybody.
They reformed a couple of years ago and performed on the Ellen Show.
That's right.
And they hadn't lost a note.
No.
So smooth.
They were just so good together.
As a band, they broke the colour barrier in pop music, especially winning a white fan base while remaining favourites within the Afro-American community.
Yep.
Let's hear them. Boogie Wonderland, here on Joy.
Melbourne's lovable radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us today. We're enjoying getting little messages from you. 0427-JOY-949 or on air at joy.org.au.
Or SMS 0427-JOY-949.
You can do that as well.
Yes, you can do all sorts of things to get in contact with us. And that's purely because of technology. And there's a lot of people born this week who had great influence on all sorts of things that we're doing these days. And, like, it's Jules Verne's birthday. He was born on February the 8th.
He was a foreseer.
And he foretold so many things that were going to happen in this world way back in the 1800s.
And the other birthday boy sort of around this time is Thomas Edison, born on the 11th of February. And he made over 1,000 patented inventions of his own.
Yeah.
His own.
That's right.
And yeah. Well, Jules Verne imagined stuff. Edison did it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Not exactly the same list of goodies.
Jules Verne actually foretold television. He said you would have walls with pictures on them. You know,
and don't be ridiculous.
And all this, and of course, one of the things he did, they put into a safe, and it wasn't found until many, many years later by his grandson.
Oh yeah.
Of all these predictions, it was too far out there at the time for anybody to sort of. Everybody would be worried about it.
Mm-hmm. The boy in Paris in the 19th or 20th century, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and he had all this technology that he described.
Yeah.
But the boy was unfulfilled. He was not happy.
Yes.
Because he was probably distracted by all this technology, which you can see any day out on the footpath when you see people walking into light poles while they're looking at their phone.
Yeah. Yes. Or walking into trams, and all that sort of stuff because they're talking to their phones, yeah. But Jules Verne, of course, he was an author as well, and he wrote 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and
Around the World in 80 Days.
And Voyage to the Moon. That was one of his. He went off to the moon before the, and he had a rocket ship that went to the moon. He realised that rockets would get there, and they did.
Journey to the Centre of the Earth.
Yeah,
and we haven't quite got that one yet.
Well, if you get down there, it might get a bit hot.
It would.
Yes.
Oh, in the movie, it looked pretty good.
Did it? Yeah.
And lots of sunlight too.
Yeah, but he had unusual foresight of the future.
Yeah,
and who are the people these days that are actually coming up with a beautiful, broad concept of how the next 100 years is going to pan out?
I don't think they can because it's all been done.
Well, it's either that or there is no 100 years. We're on the edge of the earth and we're going to fall over the edge.
Oh, okay, you're a flat earther, are you?
No, I think they're more like the no-earth generation that we're just going to burn ourselves out.
Yeah.
Well, could be.
Because one of the things that did happen on this day too was Kodak they announced that they will stop producing digital cameras.
Digital cameras?
Like
everything is modern.
Everything these days is digital, but Kodak. They were not going to do any more digital cameras. But I suppose because they can now use your phone as a camera and everything else.
Oh, I think also that everybody else had gone digital.
Yeah.
And they just didn't have a competitive product.
That's right.
If you look at some of the, because you've got now cross from the old camera companies and the new electronics companies. So you've got Canon from the old days and Sony from the new days with a heck of a lot of technology behind them.
Yeah.
And Kodak coming from producing chemical emulsions to put onto plastic.
That's right, yeah.
Not quite the same background. So they should have had their foot in the door. Because they owned photography, and they just let it slip.
They let it slip. They got all the other people designed stuff that could be doing it.
So, it's kind of an old analogy, but it's kind of like the horse and buggy.
Yeah. But they actually went bankrupt at one stage, and they filed under that section, that funny section that they have in America where you can section 11 or something or other.
No, it's chapter 13.
Chapter 13 or something.
But that doesn't really exist anymore. Now you actually have to pay your debts.
Do you?
Yes. Chapter 13 was a really good thing where you just put your hand up and say Bali.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And if the court agrees, you don't have to pay your debt.
A couple of airlines did that, didn't they?
That's how airlines existed.
Yeah, but then also, as we mentioned before, Thomas Edison, he had all those inventions, the telephone and all the everything that he invented was absolutely amazing.
The electric light bulb. Who would have ever thought that, you know, diodes would come along, the new modern little small globes and
light
emitting
diodes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, well, Edison didn't do that.
I know, clear that one up.
But Edison had a huge team of engineers also.
Yeah. Oh, but the engineers.
But the fun... Yeah.
But
inventorizers.
Inventorizers. I think actually engineers should reclaim that inventorizer name.
But they should.
But for a man that invented all that stuff, he was very poor at school. They virtually kicked him out of the school, so his mother, who was a teacher, took him home and homeschooled him. And she taught him everything and told him to use his imagination.
Ah.
And so that's how she was the one that really got him going by using his imagination and everything like that. So
you also have to take into account the time.
Oh, yeah.
Because all of those things were there to be invented or discovered.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas now there's a bit of a challenge. You think, well, what do we need? Because we kind of got everything.
Well, we've got electric light, we've got radios, we've got phones, we've got cameras.
So the next one is, okay, let's try warp speed.
Yeah.
Or, you know, transporting ourselves from London to New York in 9 minutes and that sort of stuff.
Or what like they did in, what's that television series where you stood in the transponder and they just, they disappeared you and you've got...
Yeah, Star Trek, you get beamed places, but there's been talk lately that every time you beam yourself somewhere, up to 5% of your being gets left behind. So there's a finite amount of times you can beam yourself around because you'll run out of yourself.
Oh, righto. So
it's a degenerative process.
I think that's probably why I've been beamed somewhere lots of times because I think the brain doesn't work sometimes. Do you think that 5% of that went every time?
That would account for it.
Well, I suppose that makes our life finite because eventually the 5% keeps going, and there'll be nothing left.
That's right.
Well, come from nothing, end up as nothing. What have you lost? Nothing.
Nothing.
What have you got playing underneath there?
Oh, we've got West End Girls, Pet Shop Boys. Oh. That's almost as modern as yesterday.
Oh, yes.
Let's go get some pet boys.
Go down to the pet shop.
Or the boy shop.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. joy.org.au for the world.
Yes, you are on Been There, Done That with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Thanks for being with us.
And that great guy who thinks everything's great.
Yes, yes.
Great Scott.
Great Scott
must be his name.
Yeah, right. Now, somebody else that was born this week on the 12th actually, which will be Friday, was a man who had a great influence on the way we view the world through our natural selection and all the rest of it. Charles Darwin was born.
Well, he actually split the scientific world of the time with his radical views and opinions, and he backed it up with evidence, however.
Well, he was here in Australia, in Sydney in the 1800s and in Darwin in the 1800s, because he was sailing around the South.
No, he was in Palmerston.
Palmerston. Yeah, he called in at Palmerston, but they finished up calling it Darwin after him.
Yeah.
And he was looking at all the native animals and everything that were in Darwin, around Darwin, because he was looking at all those. And he was all going through the South Pacific, looking through the islands, mm-hmm. through the, everything. He went to the...
It was a voyage of discovery.
Yeah.
He was almost sort of like botanical search party.
But it was almost what you would consider to be now would be like flying to Mars to find out what was there when he did it, because all they had were these little ships with a bit of wind power, and that was it, and they had to keep going. And it was the absolute stuff that he had to pick up and study and look at and save and bring back home, drawings and all the rest of it, to find out. And his book about the origin of the species by means of natural selection.
Mm.
And he wrote that, and he was apparently very conflicted about printing it, because he thought it would upset the church too much, because they didn't believe in...
Go on tippy toes around the church.
Yeah. And
But published it 100 years to the month before I was born.
Did he really?
Yes.
Oh.
I don't think he knew that at the time.
He didn't know that at the time when he published it. But actually, he was a great plagiarist. He stole from his grandfather. His grandfather was doing the same sort of thing, and he stole from his grandfather's publication, from Charles de Secondat, Montesquieu, who was born in 1689 to 1755, Benoît de Mallet, Pierre-Louis Maupertin, and Denis Diderot. They were all looking at the same idea of the species, the subject of the species evolution and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Today we'd call him an editor.
Yeah, and yes, that's right. But in his book, there were whole passages of stuff taken from all those chaps that had been doing the same thing.
I think everybody imagined that all the species came onto the earth off the ark, and that was the way they were.
No, they didn't. Well, they were saved from disappearing by going on
but
the ark.
But what about all those that weren't on the ark?
I mean, another book for that.
Oh, all right then, okay.
It didn't fit into the first write of the Bible.
Yeah, and then the Galapagos Islands proved that living in isolation, as is Madagascar, mm-hmm. as is Australia, we create our own species.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well,
variations thereof.
Most of our species came from Gondwana land, which was when we split and became Australia. We there are species on Australia now that are no longer anywhere else because they...
Is that because it's gone and we want to go back?
Yeah.
Gondwana.
Oh.
I'm an expert linguist.
Yes.
Right. Okay. The whole thing is, it is a natural selection, of course. The origin of the species where the strongest ones will always survive and go on.
Was he around during the flat earth argument, or had that been settled?
I think that's still current in the US of A.
Well, yeah, that's... No, I'm talking about civilized communities. Because he would have come along and said, not only are we not flat, but there's meaning to all this stuff. We've come out of, you know, we have a real history, and we're not the same as we used to be.
Yeah, that's true too.
Well, I think that scientific knowledge had extended to the point where you could actually prove lots of these things, and we can do it now with DNA.
Yeah,
we can actually go backwards and scratch out the old DNA and really connect creatures in a line, in a succession that we never considered were related.
Well, talking about how I mentioned that Darwin would be like going to the moon or something rather, on the 12th of February in 2001, the first ever descent of a spacecraft onto an asteroid happened. You know, they were able to send up a thing, and it had a couple of chances to land, and they had to stop it because something was happening up there, and then they finally got the thing to land on the asteroid.
I mean, that is totally... You talk about a mosquito finding a little target in the middle of an oval. This is...
Yeah, quite amazing.
Far more precise than that.
Yeah. Oh. And to think it's thousands and thousands, well, I don't know whether it's a light year away or a couple of light years away when they found it and got onto it, but it was quite an amazing feat.
Spacecraft took 3 years to get to this.
Yeah.
And precisely intercept.
That's right.
The funny thing though, all these little NASA genii, if you took them to the county fair, put them at that game where you have to shoot the bunny rabbit going past.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon none of them would hit the rabbit.
No.
But they can hit an asteroid from light years away.
I think that would be, terrific. I won't go there.
We've had a message from Nina.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, good afternoon, gents. It would be fantastic to have invented something that would benefit humanity. So I still Still searching for something, however, no luck so far. Love to you all, Nina. Thank you, Nina. Well, there were a couple of things that have actually benefited humanity. The wheel, to start with.
Yeah, we're getting around to that.
The wheel, that was a great benefit.
And the microwave fireplace.
Oh, yeah.
You can spend an evening in front of the fire in 15 minutes.
Yeah. Electric light was another thing that changed our whole way of life and did change humanity as well, which was, we spoke about before with Edison.
Yeah, you know. but that actually crueled the rest of life, because instead of having a day and night, we now have the opportunity to have night. Perpetual day.
Well, you don't have to go. You can't go to bed because it's
a lot of inventions have a dark side.
Yeah.
Now we know about all the wonderful things of nuclear power. We also have the nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
Electricity has a dark side.
What's that?
When
you turn the switch off.
No, when Edison... Gordon thought that was funny. When Edison came out with his power, he had DC power.
All right.
And you could distribute that over a few blocks, and then you'd have to have another generator. Westinghouse, with some other smarty pants people, came up with AC power.
All right.
Alternating
current. And that travelled over much greater distances. It's what we generally use today. In order to discredit Mr. Edison and show how harmful and evil his product was, Westinghouse invented the electric chair that ran on DC power. And it was quickly utilized to execute people, and DC power got a really bad name.
Oh,
apart from being inferior technology. But there's dark side to everything.
That's right, I said, yeah.
Nasty.
Switch the switch and there it is, dark side.
Yeah. Well, of course, now they're trying to transmit electricity through the ether, not relying on wires. I'm not sure how they're going to do that.
Well, it'd be a bad day to be a pigeon.
Yeah.
Because if you've got a big solar array up in space, beaming all this energy down, and you fly through that signal, you're lunch.
Yeah.
Oh, are you?
I can't see how you wouldn't be.
No. Yeah, true.
Because it's a microwave signal.
But it's marvellous what they're doing with batteries now, too, the lithium batteries.
What's his name with the funny name who runs that car company in San Francisco?
Mr. Telfer.
Tesla. Tesla is the company.
Tesla, yeah. Make the cars.
They're selling batteries for your home now.
Yeah.
You hook your solar array to the battery. But the battery is going to cost between $8,000 and $15,000.
Did you watch Australian Story last week? There's one of the guys that's on the gardening show in WA. He's set up his whole house to be totally batteries and all the rest of it. And
solar.
And it's amazing. He puts so much power back into the...
The grid.
Yeah. Well, I put more power back into the grid than I use, because I got my latest bill.
Yeah.
I'd used 104 kilowatt hours, but I'd put back 140 kilowatt hours.
Yeah, but you still got to pay for the stuff that you use.
I still had to pay for it, because they get about 2 cents for the...
Josh Byrne is doing is actually living off the grid.
Off the grid, yeah. But he still has the grid there just in case.
Ah.
Yes.
There you go. Someone's having a birthday round about this time is a bad boy.
Bad boy.
Bad boy. Robbie Williams.
He wasn't that bad.
On the 13th of February 1961, UK singer, of course, from Wham and a few other places.
Not from Wham.
No. Okay, correct me.
So generic boy group X.
Yep.
Oh, right.
Because it doesn't matter where they come from.
He's sung with Pet Shop Boys and Kylie Minogue and all sorts of people. He's done everything.
But
he's a very confident lad.
But with his confidence, he has buggered up quite a few times, it would seem, with his behaviours in
his personal life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you've got talent, people forgive you for those sort of things for some reason.
Oh, not if you're a footballer.
Not if you're a footballer, no. Well... Yeah.
Well, define talent.
Well,
I can kick the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm clever.
Yeah, I can hit it across a net. Yeah.
Poor Annette, she gets in so much trouble.
Okay, let's hear from Robbie Williams. Candy.
Joy.
And you're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. And we've had a message. We've had a message from Mystery Man 483. G'day, gents. What's your thought about the sky rail near Murrumbina? And he goes on to comment, some people out there would protest the sun coming up if they could. Lol.
They do. They're called Queenslanders.
Yes.
And they don't want daylight savings.
Yeah. But I can see for and against it.
No. Well, I think because our texter included the word Murrumbina in there, or the name, he probably might not appreciate, as I do, that there is a very, very narrow section of rail track and rail easement that is only 30 metres wide. It's only really room for three tracks, not four, and it's directly across the road from where I live. And it's behind the houses across the road from me. So if, in fact, this sky rail was to go through there, then, in fact, I would see it from my front door above the roof line, the tyres point of the roof of the house across the road. But, and I think that's what everybody's cutting crook about.
Yeah, but I could...
There's other parts where there's lots of width available, and, in fact, putting the rails anywhere gives you opportunity to do grasslands, parklands, whatever, and you don't have the problems that you have in this little pinch point.
But I've been to Vancouver a few times, and they only have a sky rail. They don't have anything else. It's sky up. They put it up in the air because it kept the roads clear, and that goes past houses and everything, and people seem to get used to it and don't bother about it. My argument would be it's only if you go outside that you will probably see it, but most people live inside their houses. They don't live outside their houses. And I can see a benefit from it, and I can also see how people will be worried about the value of their properties by the thing going through there, because my partner has just bought a unit in Murrumbina, right near the railway line.
Oh. Yeah.
So I don't know what he thinks about it. I haven't spoken to him yet about it. But
there we go.
Yeah.
But well, it works well in Disneyland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't work all that well in Springfield.
That was a monorail.
A monster rail.
Yes.
Is that a difference?
And it was solar powered.
But the one in Vancouver doesn't have a driver.
No.
It's totally computerized. Everything is computerized. You just buy your ticket, get on the train, get off the next stop, get off the station you want. That's it.
They used to have that in San Francisco with BART.
Yeah, BART.
Another Simpson reference.
Yeah. Well, this is the Bay Area Rapid Transit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it was driverless until one train during development didn't stop at the end of the track.
At the end of the track, it went straight
now they have a driver there. All he does is rest his finger on the stop button.
That's all he has to do.
Oh, right.
Yep.
And that must be a heck of a job.
Wow.
But anyhow, out of Sky Trains and into somebody whom we all love around here in this studio, in this station anyhow. He's a great gay icon of Australian history and music and everything else. And it's
born on the 10th of February 1944, but has already departed this world.
Yep.
And he's written lots of upbeat cha-cha type songs.
Yes, I've seen him perform so many times. It's just wonderful.
And he also has created a national anthem of a kind.
An iconic Australian song. Yes, we're talking about Peter Allen, of course.
And the song was I Still Call Australia Home.
Actually, Peter Richard Woolnough was his real name, but they called themselves the Allen Brothers, so he kept the Allen when they split. Yeah. But Peter Allen is a great entertainer. And that song I Still Call Australia Home, he wrote that in about a half an hour or 40 minutes or something rather, sitting in, I think it was Channel 9 Studios. They said, you always sing about Rio and all the rest of it. And they said, why don't you sing a song about Australia? He said, all right, I will. And he sat down and wrote it. Just like that.
And
that's talent.
Yeah. Incredible. And quite emotional as well.
Oh, yeah. It's a good song. Great song.
Yay. But he was gay, although he got married to Liza Minnelli.
He married Liza. They were married for 7 years, actually.
But if you think of that, marrying Liza Minnelli is a pretty gay thing to do.
Yeah, that's true, too.
But he had a partnership, he and his long-term partner, Greg Connell.
Yes.
Connell. Mm. They both died from AIDS-related illnesses, and... I think Peter Allen was one of the first well-known Australians to die from AIDS, HIV.
Yeah,
could have been.
But he, in his show, the I Still Call Australia Home, I think the the Peter Allen story that they put on the stage, one of the most tender scenes is between him and his boyfriend.
Yeah.
When he sings to him, it's a love song that he sings to his boyfriend. It was such a tender moment in that show. It was just absolutely beautiful.
Making Every Moment Count.
No,
not that one.
No, not that one. I can't remember it. It's a beautiful, one of his beautiful soft love songs. And when the bloke that played Peter Allen, oh God, I'm having a mental breakdown here. He was just so good at it. But
Todd McKenney.
Todd McKenney, that was the one, when Todd McKenney played the part. And then we had Hugh Jackman did it, the what's name version. It wasn't tender at all. It was just a belt out number, you know, but Todd did that so beautifully. Yeah. And as I say, I worked at the Palais Theatre for a time and Peter Allen appeared down there. Absolutely wonderful performer. I think it was the last time he was in Australia, actually, before he went back to America and died.
Next Sunday, February the 14th
of February 1966. We all remember that song, If You Lived That Long.
Well, it was done.
Even those who are trying to forget it.
We're actually talking about the introduction of decimal currency to Australia back in February the 14th, 1966.
And
it's
lucky.
A long time ago, 50 years.
Yeah, 50 years, yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
Those of us who were a little bit older than our listener,
a little bit older than Phil too.
Yeah,
I was six. I remember the song.
You remember the song?
Yeah, but we can remember pounds, shillings, and pence, guineas, and these sorts of things.
Yes.
It was part of the decimalisation of all our measures in Australia.
The first part of the decimalisation of Australia, because Australia is the only country that finished up decimalising everything.
Yeah.
We've got metric money.
Yeah, yeah. I can remember I was working in a shop at the time and we had to learn how to convert feet and inches into metres and centimetres. You had to do it in your head very quickly and all that sort of stuff, yeah.
But it's wonderful now that it's taken 50 years for me, but here I don't think in feet and inches anymore.
But the funny part about it, if you're reading a book that's been printed overseas or it's an overseas story and they mention how many miles it is to wherever they were going, you know how far they're away.
Yeah.
You can still remember, still know how far they are when they talk about
miles.
And
when people give their height, it's feet and inches still.
Because
if you say it in centimetres, you get blank looks.
Yeah.
But you must be a giant. There's three digits in that.
Yeah. 180 centimetres is 6 feet.
Yeah. Wow.
And if you had 6 feet, you'd have trouble buying shoes.
Well, there was a show on the other day that showed a family that's in South America that has six fingers.
Yeah, that was spooky.
That was spooky.
You wouldn't want that pointed out, though, would you?
No, but then the Simpsons, how many fingers have they got?
Well, it's not just the Simpsons with that symptom. If you're animated, you have four fingers because it's easier to draw.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so you don't have a thumb, you just have four fingers.
You've got a thumb, I think.
Yeah.
It's just, if you look at your hand, that's a lot of drawing.
Yeah.
So if you've only got three before, you don't want to lose too many fingers because then it just gets rude.
That's what my neighbour was doing in Parliament the other day, pushing his glasses up like going like that.
Yeah, sure. One person who didn't have any problem drawing was the designer of our decimal currency.
Stuart Devlin. Yes, he designed the original.
Well, he designed all the ones that we're currently
using. That's right. They're still using them, And he designed currencies for other countries as well.
Oh, lots of other countries,
And Australian silversmith. And
but we've changed a few because we don't use his 50-cent piece or $10 note.
Yeah.
Or his $1 or $2 notes. They've all been retired.
But he designed the coins,
The coins.
The coin of brace.
Yeah, there was a lovely article about Stuart Devlin in the paper the other day. It was quite interesting reading how he was an artist who designed...
Would you call his work a yardstick? just to get away from metrics a little bit.
That's naughty.
Well, that's a saying that sort of stays, everything's a yardstick to whatever. They don't say, it's a metric stick.
You don't walk a kilometre in somebody's shoes, do you?
No, you always walk a mile in their shoes.
Because it's further.
Yeah.
I think that's why.
Kilometre's 5/8 of a mile.
Yeah.
Say that again with your teeth in.
Kilometre is 5/8.
You can say that, Gordon, but Phil can't.
I can't.
It's almost time for us to go, but after our little special messages, we'll be playing a song from another birthday person, Holly Johnson. born on the 9th of February 1960.
Who was male, I should point out.
Yes.
I always thought Holly was a girl's name.
But his legal name is William Holly Johnson.
Yep.
He's best known as being the lead vocalist in
Frankie Goes to Hollywood. They're a great group. Really great group.
Mm. And we're going to be playing one of their songs, one of their naughty songs. It's called Relax.
But he's got such a good name. He's a Willie and a Johnson.
Oh, dear.
If in doubt, watch old Austin Power movies.
No, thank you.
All right, then. Thank you for that. Let's say cheerio, and we'll catch up with you.
We'll be back with more of this nonsense
next
week.
Unless they catch us.
With another chapter of this nonsense next week.
I know, with all new nonsense next week.
Yep, that's right, the new chapter. Yeah.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.